Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, Shehecheyanu v'kimanu l'zman hazeh. We're going to be starting to share a little bit of Torah in the light of L'tayel b'torasso, the light of Rav Avram ben Rav Nachman, the Baal Bir HaLikutim, and my dear friend Rav Nachman Fried is bringing down into the world, and the secret of the Koil of Toras Chaim, which is the attempt to live with the Torahs, to live with the Torahs in the sense that the Talmidim HaAmitim of Rabbeinu really wanted the Torahs to be lived with. That it was meant to penetrate not only into the ratzon of an individual or even the chachma or the bina of an individual, but it was meant to go through the process of das. It was meant to be integrated, the secret of da. That Rabbi Nachman starts so many of the Torahs with da, because knowledge, the integration between the original insight of the Torah and the patience necessary, as described in Torah Vav. Torah Vav is the Torah of drawing something down. It's the Torah of the tzimtzum and the waiting and the patience process necessary for true ideas to manifest within the heart and the body as well, to walk with the Torah, the tayel b'torah, so leholeichem haTorah, to walk with it to a specific destination, to learn the etzos pshutos and the tfilos of that Torah, to learn how to be mahapech that Torah into the tefillah itself and the secret of ruach hakodesh of mibein shnei akruvim, of the siach bein lev hayisraeli lev shebashamayim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Masi nafsheh b'kapo, when a person places themselves in their words, as Rabbeinu teaches us in the secret of his Hasvodidus, that those words become the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachol. It becomes Ruach HaKodesh. And so too with L'tayel b'torasso, when a person is walking with the Torah, it's told over from the original Talmidim and the Hasidim and Anshei Maisa and Anshei Shlomeinu that when living with the Torah, you begin to see all of Metzias as an expression of that Torah. And the entire book of Likutei Maharan is transformed into a Toras Chaim. And the light of Rav Avram ben Rav Nachman, I remember I walked into Rav Yitzchak Maya Morgenstern Shlita's office a number of years ago, and I was holding a Bir HaLikutim from Rav Avram ben Rav Nachman and the Chai Klalim, and Rav Avram and the Rebbe said that he looked at the Sefer and he said, "This is the only way to properly learn Likutei Maharan. The secret of the Bir HaLikutim, the secret of the Chai Klalim, the 18 hermeneutical principles, which are so fundamental to properly looking at the light of Likutei Maharan, not only as a sefer amongst Svarim, but rather as the sefer itself, the sefer where the light of the tzaddik is buried, where the neshama, the ruach, and the panim of the tzaddik is buried, a place, an interface where we can be mitchaber to the Baal HaSipur from within the sefer itself, the secret of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by way of his tzaddikim, connecting to Yerushalayim by way of Moshe, and living with the particular principles of looking at each Torah as a standalone universe, that just as any other spiritual principle dictates, the part and the whole are equal to one another, as we've heard so often from the different Torahs of Rabbeinu HaRashash and the Toras Chaim and the Toras Chacham and the Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital, and the proper understanding of Kabbalah HaArizal, that the Prat and the Klal are always Shav, the part and the whole are always Shav. There's nothing that doesn't contain everything. Just like the stones of Har Sinai, where each and every stone is composed of the entirety of Har Sinai, just as when the Rebbe of Melech davened so hard to see an image of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, he was shown the flame on top of the hill outside of his house, and with each and every burning flame was a full image, a full visage of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, just like the tzaddikim tell us that after the Baal Shem Tov threw himself off proverbially of that cliff to teach the secret of Avodas Hashem and he shattered into a million pieces, surprise, surprise, it turned out that each and every piece of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was a full Baal Shem Tov. This is the secret of the yichud of the klal and the Prat. And this is the secret of the Chai Klalim, that each and every one of the Torahs in Likutei Maharan is a standalone universe that need not depend on any teaching outside of it. It need not find an anchor outside of itself, because when Rabbi Nachman brought down these Torahs, it had the entirety of the Torah within it. It had Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh and the fullest expression of it, down to the Chiddush HaAmiti of the Torah Chadasha. And therefore, each and every Torah is a standalone universe that theoretically, had we only been given one Torah of Likutei Maharan, it would have been enough. If we'd been only been given one paragraph of Likutei Maharan, it would have been enough, because each and every word has the koyach to be mezachich the nefesh, to be mezachich the panim, to the degree that a person can begin to uncover the light of the tzaddik within themselves, and in particular with the light of keser, with the light of mineyu bei, the deeper belief that each and every Torah has what it needs in order to be understood, that it provides enough, that I need not look with eyes of scarcity and search elsewhere for the light of the Torah, but rather whatever rests in front of me right here, right now, is where the Torah is going to be found. And this is the secret of the Maisa that Rabbeinu used to tell over to his students prior to them becoming Hasidim of him. After, likely, we know that Rabbi Nachman would also tell prospective Hasidim to learn the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, and we also know the story that Rabbi Nachman would usually tell those who arrived of the man, the old man who was dreaming of the treasure underneath the bridge far away from his home. And after going through all of the process and the journey and the tsar of the journey and the yagia of the journey to arrive that bridge to find the treasure, he came to understand the true secret, which is that the treasure was at home all along. This is the secret of Mineyu Bei, to look at each and every Torah as a standalone universe where it has whatever it needs in order to reveal itself. In that light of Yichud, where we uncover the Yichud of the Torah of the Tzaddik, and we uncover the Hiskashas to the Tzaddik, and we uncover the Tzaddik within ourselves, and we depend upon the Tzaddik Yisod Olam in order to connect us to the Tzaddiko Shel Olam, which is a Kaddish Baruch Hu, in order that we can uncover the light of the Tzaddik, Bamunasa Yichya, and Amich Kulam Tzaddikim in the secret of preparing ourselves for Shuas and B'Yom HaBikurim. Now, just one element from this Halig Torah, which really reveals a fundamental element about Panimiya Satora B'derach Klal and the way that it's revealed in Lukuta Maharan, the Prat. And Rabbi Nosson hints to this, Lefi Anias Taiti in the Hakdama, where he describes the Torah of Rabbi Nachman as operating in the place of Atik Yoimin, the ancient light of Keser, which has the doubled ability of being true all the way at the tippy top of understanding and meaning, and all the way at the very bottom of the most practical, applicable, and applicable skills and daily suggestions that can help a person alleviate the struggle of day-to-day life. Meaning to say, the Torah is true above and the Torah is true below. The Torah is true in the secret of Atik Yoimin, and the Torah is true in the secret of being revealed below, 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 and the secret of what Rabbi Nosson describes over there as the perpetual balance between concealment and revelation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing hidden secrets and concealing revealed secrets, so that we're always in a process of uncovering, uncovering, uncovering what it means to relate to Pnimiyas HaTorah. And what Rabbi Nachman is really describing in B'Yom HaBikurim is the relationship that a person has to their lives. A person's life is their malchus. A person's sphere of influence is the space in which we live, our mindset, our framework, our concentric circles, our microsystems and our macrosystems. Our very being radiates the expression of tov, to, kavod l'shmo, that we're screaming out, kavod shemayim, tov yatzar kavod l'shmo, that Hashem created us to reveal the kavod of Him, and the neshama is machriz its kavod every moment, every breath, kol neshama tahalka, every breath of a yid, every step of a yid, every thought of a yid, every moment of a yid's existence contains all possibilities within it. It's a secret of Nitzchias and Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker and Yisrael Asher B'cha Espar and the Shirish of Nishmas Yisrael. And so wherever a person is where their Malchus is. And sometimes there's going to be a revealed sphere of influence, and sometimes there's going to be a concealed sphere of influence. And very often our minds get trapped in searching for the revealed spheres of influence because we want to have some affirmative grasp on the impact that we're having on reality. But in truth, what Rabbi Nachman describes is that in spite of appearances, very often appearances bear absolutely no reality on what the true nature of Malchus is, because sometimes there's a concealed element of Malchus where the pathways of my influence and the impact that I have in the world is not necessarily going to be measured by the conditions and the terms of this worldly experience. And in truth, the concealed elements of Malchus, in truth, might overtake the revealed elements of Malchus in such a way that it's not even a comparison. But what it takes is a reorientation towards the visibility of the affirmative grasp that I can have on my meaningfulness and my significance. Malchus, my hashpa, my sphere of hashpa is what enables me to find significance in within my life, to find a shame in my life. A shame is Malchus, a name, something that I can stand upon, something that I can identify as something that I have perhaps left a mark on reality. This is what Rabbi Nachman introduces the entire Sefer of Lukut Maran with, which is L'chu chazu mifalais Hashem asher sham shamos baretz. We're in the Zman of Sfira, so we're in the light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And anytime we're in the Sefer of Lukut Maran, we're in the light of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But what Rabbi Shimon over there brings down, what Rabbi Nachman brings down over there, is the drasha of Chazal that Al tikru shamos ela shemos. Don't read destruction and desolation, which, as the Malbim points out, is sham ma. Shmama is desolation. Shmama is ba'aretz, that there's desolation, where it appears that Meron Chalil v'chas is desolate, and a person, there's nobody there visiting Rashbi. Don't read desolation, but rather read it as shemos. Someone has placed names. A name is the opposite of shmama. It's the opposite of desolation. It's a thisness. It's an identifiable thing. It's a proper noun. It's a malchus de gazach that now has a tachlis, and it can be called by a name, and it can be referred to by a name. And it's the name of tzaddikim. It's the shame of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Wherever a person is, they're mekushet to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Whether it's in Meron or not in Meron. In shmama, it's in the notion of it has to be in a specific spot. In the secret of al tikra shmamos ela shemos. Shemos, it's about being Makasha to the name of the tzaddik. Just as we say Shem Rishon Yerkov, the secret of the tzaddik is the secret of the Shmo Shel HaTzaddik, the Shmo Shel Mashiach, the name of Mashiach. B'Yom HaBikurim, the Torah itself is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rabbi Nachman reveals so much in this Torah in Vav, which is calling out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is calling out the Torah itself. And so the secret of our various spheres of influence, and Rabbi Nachman also hints to a very, not hints, reveals a very natural tendency of a person that if I am finding my malchus in a revealed way, and it's an identifiable way, and it's a real way of, you know, this is my sphere of influence, this is where I have an impact, this is how I can leave my mark and find my name in reality, so there's far more of a natural tendency to misuse that, which is why Rabbi Nachman, when he gives that warning about not misusing malchus for one's own purpose, which doesn't mean taking the self completely out of it, obviously, at least as I understand it, because I'm a person who's coming to the Torah of Rabbi Nachman with the most self-imaginable, and therefore the light of Rabbi Nachman's Torah illuminates the elements of self that theoretically a person can't or is too lazy to even try to get rid of. Memela, so when I'm understanding, what you'll be hearing from me about the Torah is with the most magushim dika ich, with the most sense of self that doesn't want to necessarily let go of itself. And therefore, when Rabbi Nachman talks about letting go of the self, it doesn't mean letting go of the self completely. It means refining one's grasp on the self to come to terms with the fact that, yes, I am myself, but nevertheless, I am simply a reflection of a truer self, kavyachol, my sharish haneshama, which is ultimately rooted in the chelik alai kemimau, which is the secret of ani Hashem lokechem, which is the secret of the shem ha'atzmi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ultimately, when Rabbeinu's Torahs demand from us the ability to be mevatel ourselves and to let go of ourselves completely, it's never with a full abandonment of self, but rather it's with the recognition that I will remain myself after this Torah. I'm trying to live with this Torah. I'm trying to live with the natural human tendencies of this Torah, rather than trying to be a tzaddik in the Torah. That's simply just a disclaimer about the type of interpretation that that we'll get through my understanding of the Torah of Rabbi Nachman. And the main way that a person is going to protect themselves from A, the misuse of malchus, or more significantly, missing sight of my malchus. The person who suffers most from the misuse or the misapprehension of malchus, of our sphere of influence, is not the people that we're influencing. A yid doesn't have the capacity to influence another yid. Only a Kaddish Baruch Hu could influence another yid. Only a Kaddish Baruch Hu could influence us. Nobody else has the right to influence us. Nobody else has the power to influence us. The only thing that could speak directly to the heart is the light of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, kavyachol, that's mislabish in each and every day's thoughts and machshavos and feelings that are inner, internal, and can only be communicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not so much a concern that Rabbi Nachman is describing for the danger and the deleterious effects that will apply to my malchus if I misuse my malchus, kilo I'm going to share the wrong type of idea where it's still all about the I. But rather it's about a person, God forbid, missing sight of their true malchus, because a person can live like a melech or a malka, a person can live like a king. The entirety of Rabbi Nachman's Torah on a certain level is to live like a king, is to enter into that place of malchus. Malchus is very often found in the pits of the mud, and I can only learn the secret of malchus if I know before tapping into the secret of malchus that I will never hold on fully to the secret of malchus. But nevertheless, malchus is the way that a yid is meant to live from the Sefer of Likutei Maharan. That Likutei Maharan is Rosh Yetivos Lamed Mem, and the Chaf of Melech is going to be the Chaf HaDimyon, meaning when a person comes with their Dimyon HaMezuchach, their purified imagination, into the Sefer Likutei Maharan, you have Rosh Yetivos Lamed Mem Chaf, which is the secret of Melech. And when a person is learning the Sefer of Likutei Maharan with their Dimyon and believing in their own interpretation of the Torah, a person is meant to live like a king. A person is meant to live with a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're revealing yourself through me in this moment, right here, right now. And this moment and this scenario is exactly what I need to be Megala Kvod Shemayim, as it has never been Niskala throughout the entire history of the world, from the beginning of creation till the coming of the Mashiach, that I have the ability to reveal you right here, right now, in a new way, in my Malchus. But we lose sight of our malchus because we judge our malchus wrong, or we feel that our malchus needs to be more revealed, or we don't know how to appreciate our malchus, or we look at another person's malchus and we say, why do they have this malchus and why don't I have this malchus, and I want my malchus to be like this, and all of the different considerations which work within the framework of tshuva, but within the framework of bittul and the avoid of hashpa'ah, they really get in the way. One must accept their malchus in order to take pleasure in their malchus, to see the influence that a person can have by very dint of the fact that they're existing. Rabbi Nachman used to tell all of his students to say Torah over at Shalosh Shodes. And one time a Talmud came over to the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, there's nobody here. And Rabbi Nachman said, there's always somebody listening, meaning to say that we have no idea the frameworks of influence that take shape through the words, the ritzonos, and the machshavos that we have. And it's only when we can reorient ourselves towards accepting what my malchus is in this world, I can really learn to lean into it and to be present in it, not to be kafui in it, not to misuse it. And then Rabbi Nachman descends down deep into the secret of the Hastara and the Hastara Shabtoich Hastara, because once we get in line with what Malchus is, and once we learn to accept our Malchus and not be taken away from our Malchus because we have eyes of jealousy or taiva or kavod on somebody else's Malchus, so then we learn the secret of Malchus, which is that it goes down, down, down. It's hidden of the most hidden. It's the concealed of the concealed. Very often we find ourselves in our lives in the spheres of influence that we encounter in a place that's devoid of light. And the only thing that we have to do there is to draw arichas yamim into it. To draw arichas yamim means to be patient enough with this moment in reality to believe that I am the melech here and I am mekusher to the melech malchi amlochim, and I have the ability to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, and I have the ability to be megala malchusa malchus kol elamim, and I have the ability to be megala zayin on the deepest elements of malchus agnuza be'ein sof kavyachol, and the deepest secrets of the sha'ashuim ha'elyonim. But that's only if I learn to be patient, to draw down a deep breath, to draw the longevity of days into the constriction of the moment, to expand time, to pause the rush of time. The rush of time, as the Ramchal describes, is the need for things to incessantly be moving with rapid fire speed, because there's no time to wait. If I wait even a second, I'm caught up in the flow of things and I'm overwhelmed. As Rabbi Nachman says, the more magushim a person is, the more heavy the notion of time is. The older a person is, the more ancient a person is, the lesser orientation they have towards time, as we know from the blind beggar. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be practicing the mitzvah of Minei Ubei, the principle that the Torah doesn't need any of the other makoros in order to be megalazin on it, but we're just going through the general framework of the Torah. And once a person learns the secret of arichas af, arichas yamim, to draw the arichas yamim into my malchus, to be patient and present with what doesn't necessarily appear to be a meaningful moment, but to uncover the secret of irreducible meaning that rests within it, then I can learn to speak, then I can learn to open my mouth, then I can learn to be present with my malchus, then I can learn to open up my mouth and express my words, as they said in the Zohar HaKadosh in the generation of Rashbi, Pasach picha ve'iru devarecha, may your words be refined right now, because only you, mi yodei im le'is kazoi sigat l'malchus, when a person learns to own that, that's the secret that is always perpetually reverberating within the mind. This is my malchus, this is my malchus, this is the tachlis of ma'aseh shemayim va'aretz, this is my Shabbos, this is the tikkun ha'olam. And the Rambam gives us this lahalacha that a yid has to live with this notion all the time, that right here, right now is where I'm going to find you, and I'm going to be machriya the world l'chav schus. And if I'm not in this moment, then I'm in the next moment. But that's what enables me to open up each moment, is to find the arichas yamim within the malchus itself. And then when discussing malchus, and whenever there's a conversation about malchus, malchus always is the thing that goes all the way up, and it's always the thing that goes all the way down. Just like the light of Rabbi Nachman, just like the Torah of Rabbi Nachman, just like the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, just like the Torah of Atikas Dima, and the Torah of Kadosha, and the Torah of Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehira B'Yameinu. This Torah Chadasha is the secret of Malchus, that it's a Trei HaFakim B'noisa Echad. It's above, 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 and it's below, 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 which means that it can be in the state of utmost revelation, and it could also descend down into the state of utmost concealment. And a person is going to have to learn to draw benefit from the fact that at least I know things are concealed from me. At least when I feel that there's a concealment in my life, at least I have the capacity to be Mishtoikek for there to be a fulfillment to that Mitzias. As long as I still have a certain desire to connect, as long as I have a certain feeling that something is missing, I can find you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first stance. That's the Hastara. I no longer know that I'm living as a melech. I no longer know that I have direct connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I know that I had one, and I know that I want one. And through that knowing of having and lost and wanting it but not having it, I'm oirer my desire to grab it by way of not having it. And that's the secret of, you know, even though I feel a little bit of hopelessness, nevertheless, I'm not letting myself give up hope. I'm not letting myself give up hope. I'm still holding on to that hastara. At least I know it's a hastara, and therefore I can pull myself out of it. But then there's hastara shabatoich hastara. When the malchus falls down even deeper, it goes beyond the worlds of kedusha. It goes into the bia de klipa, the bia de choil kavyachol, and it goes into that place where theoretically there is no ilam hazeh, but rather there's only gehenim, as Rabbeinu says. And in that place, in the Hastar Shabbatoich Hastar, it appears that it's so far and so devoid and so removed from the ability of it to be elevated that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kaddish Baruch Hu has to remind us that there also, Afilu Bahastar Shabbatoich Hastar, I'm there. That's the secret of Afilu, if a person is over the Isser of Yeyush, nevertheless, they'll come to find the secret of Ein Shem Yeyush Ba'olam Kal. Okay, I have to go. We'll continue, B'ezras Hashem.